After a long career as a character actor in movies like Joe, The Candidate, Young Frankenstein, Taxi Driver, and Hammett, Peter Boyle became a regular presence in the homes of millions of TV viewers in his role as Ray's father in the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond. Boyle died Tuesday at the age of 71. He had multiple myeloma and heart disease. We're going to listen back to an interview I recorded with Peter Boyle in 1988 when we talked about several of his films. Why don't we start with your first starring role in Joe, which became the kind of frame of reference for a certain kind of working class bigot of the period.
Joe is a film that was made in 25 years ago, and during the time of the war protests and, in the first years of the Nixon administration. And I didn't realize it until a few months ago, but the movie was made in late 1969, 1970, about this bigoted hard hat kind of guy and children, involved having kids on dope, and he goes crazy and he shoots up a bunch of hippies, blah, blah, blah. But the movie was made and released only 5 weeks after Kent State. And when it was released, it really caught this, the tragedy and craziness of that time.
Why don't we hear a bit of that?
Oh, you're going to play it?
Yeah, we'll play a clip of that.
This is going to shake me up.
All you got to do is act black and the money rolls in. Set fire to the cities, burn a few buildings, you get paid for it. Throw a few bombs, you get money and jobs. If you can't read, you got a better chance of getting hired. A lot of good my education did me. And the kids, the white kids. Money don't mean nothing to them. Motorcycles, marijuana, $5 records. The dollar ain't worth shit.
So who did you pattern Joe on?
Who did I pattern Joe on? Oh, certain people I knew as I grew up. Uncles, policemen, teachers, certain people of a certain social class.
Did people start to confide their prejudices to you?
Yeah, they come up and say, hey, Joe, you had the right idea about all those hippies. You know what we should do? We should put them in a big boat and take it out to the middle of the ocean and drop a nuclear bomb on it.
At any given time in this society, there's any number of people that would like to murder a certain group of people. So there was a certain funny kind of reaction to it.
What impact did Joe have on your career?
Well, it sort of started my career, but it also distorted it a little bit. So I kept trying to avoid a stereotype, but the more I did, the more I got into it. So
you got into the stereotype the more you tried to avoid it?
Well, the typecasting goes on forever. And if you do one role and you make an impression in it, that's all they want you to do. It's really true.
Now, let me move on to a very different
film.
Young Frankenstein.
Did I make you nervous then?
No.
Okay. I thought you were defending the typecasting system.
No.
Oh, no. Young Frankenstein.
Yes.
From a bigot to a monster. Not such
That's
a
progress.
Simple. Yes, Young Frankenstein.
This is Mel Brooks's horror spoof.
Yes.
And you were the monster.
Yes.
So did you go back and watch the original, study Boris Karloff?
I didn't have to, because I had seen the original when I was about 12 years old. In an era before television, where there was a movie in downtown Philadelphia that used to show old movies. And a friend of mine went down to see the original Frankenstein, and it scared me. And it made such a strong impression on me that I really didn't have to go back and do research, because I patterned my performance on Karloff and did it a certain way. And I wanted to make it like there was somebody inside the monster.
Did you remember the monster's grunts, which, of course, you had to do?
Yes, of course. Yes.
The makeup is actually very funny for the film. Because you could see where the makeup is.
Well, the Young Frankenstein really sort of spoofed the early Frankenstein movies, which were actually the first, among the first sound movies ever made. They were made in 1931, and the lighting and the makeup was very much in the style of the silent movies. It hadn't gotten that sophisticated, so some of the makeup was, you were aware that it was makeup, that was somewhat intentional.
One of the highlights, I think, of Young Frankenstein is when Gene Wilder, who plays Dr. Frankenstein, the scientist, is showing off you, his monster, his creation, to a big audience of scientists. And then you, as he's showing you off, you do a duet with him of Puttin' on the Ritz.
Yes.
In full top hat, white tie and tails.
Mm-hmm. And seven, you know, and shoes that are elevated have soles that are eight inches thick. You know, because, you know, that's the part I remember. And I had to tap dance in those.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes, or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Cooper, Cooper!
You grew up in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And in this city, you were famous as the son of Uncle Pete.
That's true.
The show that your father did that people I know who grew up in Philadelphia remember was called Lunch with Uncle Pete.
Yes.
And why don't you describe what he did on that show?
Well, he would have kids come into the studio, and also this is a time when kids would actually go home from school and have lunch. Or little kids who were at home would have lunch, and he would announce his menu for each day, and he'd have a little lunch, and he'd draw some pictures and tell some stories, talk to the kids in the studio, and show various old movies. A lot of times he showed Our Gang comedies, and he also went through another period where he showed a lot of Hopalong Cassidy.
How old were you when he was doing Lunch with Uncle Pete?
When he was doing all that, I was not a little kid anymore. I was really like a guy. When all this went on, I was like in high school and then out of high school and in college.
Was it exciting to have a father on TV? Was it ever embarrassing?
What was really, sometimes it would, you know, I mean, I don't remember too much. Sometimes it'd be embarrassing. Only you get recognized everywhere. And then, but what was exciting for me was he would bring me down to, especially in the early days, because everything was live on television, there was an incredible excitement, and he would bring me down to the studio, and I would sit and watch them rehearse and watch them shoot these shows. And since there's no tape and there's no error, there's no repeating anything, everything was very exciting. And then also sometimes there'd be fascinating guests or, you know, just people would pass through the station. But they would go from studio to studio. I remember seeing a TV crew wrap a show, rip off their microphones, and run down the hall and into the next studio to, you know, to fire up the cameras for the next show. So I enjoyed watching all of that, the production of it, and seeing him do it and hanging out with him. It was really exciting.
Did that ever give you the bug to perform?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. I think it did. Yeah, it did. Also, my dad, you know, we grew up in Philadelphia. My dad was an avid movie buff and theater buff, and he took me to the theater a lot.
That's great.
So we saw a lot of plays, a lot of musicals, but also a lot of plays that used to, when there was more of Philadelphia, was more a tryout town.
Peter Boyle, recorded in 1988. He died Tuesday at the age of 71.